Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Kamsa begged, "My dear sister and brother-in-law, please be merciful to such a poor-hearted person as me, since both of you are saintly persons. Please excuse my atrocities." Having said this, Kamsa fell at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki, his eyes full of tears of regret. Purport. Although Kamsa had spoken very nicely on the subject of real knowledge, his past deeds were abominable and atrocious, and therefore he further begged forgiveness from his sister and brother-in-law by falling at her feet and admitting that he was a most sinful person. Omagyanti mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I start, I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on this exalted literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's explained that Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. Those of you who have read the Bhagavatam will know this verse, Krishna swa dhammopagate, dharma gyana dibi saha. That when Krishna left, the Bhagavatam came, and the Bhagavatam's purpose is to give light to the people of this dark age of Kali, those who are blinded by the darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali. So Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. Explain that different the various cantos of Bhagavatam corresponds to different parts of Krishna's body. So this canto here is actually the most exalted because within this canto, the intimate pastimes of Krishna with the most intimate devotees of his are described, the Rasa Leela with the gopis. So to speak on this canto is a great privilege and it's also a great undertaking for which I'll seek your blessing so that I can say something worthy of your attention. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyaya cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, the difference between Bhagavatam and all the other literatures and all the other Vedic scriptures is that, specifically Bhagavad Gita, is that they give instructions. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks to Arjuna and he gives a variety of instructions on how to elevate one's consciousness. And you see this in all the other scriptures also. Now, what makes the Bhagavatam and the Puranas, all these other scriptures that come in the category of the Bhagavatam, is that they give us practical examples on how to apply these instructions on our day-to-day life. Right? So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita tells us what the do's and the don'ts are, and Bhagavatam tells us what happens when you don't perform when you don't do the do's and when you do the don'ts. It gives us examples. So we have examples of people who did the wrong thing and got corrected for it. We have the example of Indra. Right? From the pastime of Indra, you learn that you're not supposed to cut off the head of a Brahmin when he's performing a yajna for you. From the pastime of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad, you learn that you're not supposed to terrorize a devotee, no matter how much younger or shorter than you is. And from the pastime of the Yadus, offending the great sages, you learn that Vaishnava Parad is such a big thing that even the associates of the Supreme Lord himself, his relatives, will get vanquished if they perform Vaishnava Parad. So what if I speak of us, people like us? So we learn what not to do, and we also learn what to do. We have various pastimes. Prahlad Maharaj, just remaining focused on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, despite going through difficulties, we see what he achieves at the end. He gets the darshan of the Supreme Lord. The Lord comes directly to protect him. So Bhagavatam gives us all these different examples. And in this pastime, also, Hare Krishna. So we get another example. We get a pastime full of lessons. And in this one, we get to see the contrast between a devotee and a non-devotee, how they react to certain situations, right? We see how a devotee reacts when he's put under pressure and how a non-devotee reacts when he's put under pressure, right? We see here that a non-devotee, even though he may initially show good qualities, that when he's put under duress, all his negative qualities come to the surface. So Kamsa initially, this pastime started, or Kamsa went into serve his sister by taking her to the house of a husband. And then he hears a voice coming from the sky telling him that he's going to be killed by the child of a sister. And just there and then, Kamsa immediately changes, his consciousness changes. 1 minute ago, he was trying to serve his sister, and now he's ready to kill her. He pulls out his sword, he's ready to kill her. So we learn what the consciousness of a demon is like. Right? Then on the other side, we also learn that what a devotee does when he's under pressure. Devaki and Vasudev, they've been put under pressure. Their situation, no one can actually say they were going through a situation as bad as this one. Right? On the day of your wedding, you're almost killed by none other than your brother. And then the children you have after that are killed one by one by none other than your brother. He keeps you locked up in prison, waiting for the person who's going to come to kill him, and he's going to kill him also. So their situation is very extreme. But we see how they deal with such a situation. In the previous verses, Kamsa is begging for forgiveness. And at no point did I turn around and say, who are you asking for forgiveness? After all the things you did, you think I'm going to forgive you? They never say that. They listen to him attentively, and they remain humble, and they remain meek, right? Despite all the different things that Kamsa did for them. So this is the consciousness of the devotee. And this pastime shows us that. Right? The other thing that this pastime shows us is that the mind, if uncontrolled, the mind can lead us to do tremendously horrible things. It talks about the nature of the uncontrolled mind. Kamsa's mind, being a demon, is not fixed on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. His mind is probably thinking about, focused on other things, sense gratification, on materialistic lifestyle. And the moment he's faced with a difficult situation, his character changes. Right? So the mind is a very, very dangerous associate. We carry the mind with us. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains that the mind is a non-devotee. He says that just like you should avoid the association of non-devotees, you should also avoid the association of the mind as much as possible. And he also tells the disciples that one should beat the mind with shoes and a broomstick. In the early days of the movement, Prabhupada's disciples actually followed this instruction, and many of them ended up with a few bumps and bruises on the head. But the point that Bhaktisiddhanta was making here is that you have to constantly be mindful of what the mind is telling you, and you also need to equip your intelligence sufficiently to be able to ignore and neglect the instruction that the mind gives you. Like that. Because the living entity by nature is marginal potency. Right? This tatashta means that you have to come under the shelter of something. If it's not the shelter of the Supreme Lord, come under the shelter of the mind, then terrible things happen. And we can see this in the world outside. Just recently there was a mass shooting in Orlando. Right? Crazy man walks into a nightclub and he shoots 50 people. For no good reason. Well, for him, there was a good reason. But that reason was not good enough to take the life of 50 odd people. Because the mind is uncontrolled. Yeah? Recently also, there was a lady MP. I keep up with the news. I'm just saying. One MP, she got shot also by someone who said to have mental illnesses. A few years ago, there was a man from a German man, I think. He advertised in the newspaper asking for someone to come and help him eat himself. He put an advert in the newspaper and someone actually responded. And they actually went through with the act of trying to eat himself. And he died, right? So he had to stand there, watch someone cut him up with the intention of eating his own flesh. So this is the nature of the material world, and this is the nature of people who are not under the shelter of Krishna, under the shelter of the mind on the mental platform. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that the mind which is uncontrolled is the worst enemy of the living entity, but that mind which is controlled can be the best friend of the living entity, and that mind can take the living entity back to Godhead. Right? So, in this pastime of Vasudeva and Devaki and Kamsa, we also get an idea of how atrocious a person who's on the mental platform can be when, if they're not careful enough. Right? If they're not careful, the mind can take them to hell and back like that. The mind can make them do very terrible things. Right? The mind can lead them to actually want to kill their own relatives. Like that. And we also see how a devotee deals in a difficult situation. Why? Because he's under the shelter of Krishna. Right? So Vasudeva and Devaki, under the shelter of Krishna, are protected from the atrocities of Kamsa. And although they could lose their life, they're not affected by the situation. Right? They're not disturbed in the slightest. They're in the prison, they're thinking, when is Krishna going to come? That is actually their consciousness at the time. Meditating on Krishna, when is Krishna going to come? The pastime of Prahlad Maharaj also. Prahlad Maharaj was getting tormented by his father. This was the first case of child abuse. And the most severe case of child abuse, he had his assistant try to get elephants to stamp on him, to feed him poison, try to boil him in oil. And every time Prahlad was focused on the Supreme Lord, every time Prahlad was thinking about Krishna, Prahlad wasn't thinking, why is Krishna doing this to me? Because sometimes what happens as devotees, when we go through the slightest difficulty, and sometimes the difficulty is so insignificant, we may just miss the bus, and immediately we start to blame Krishna. Why is Krishna doing this to me? And the reason for this is because we think that Krishna is supposed to be arranging for our material life to go smoothly. And the moment things don't go smoothly, then we turn against Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of during the World War, the wives of the German soldiers, and the mothers of the German soldiers, and the wives also, they believed in God and they prayed to God to make sure that their relatives would come home safe. But then when they didn't come home safe, many of them became atheists. Sometimes also we get devotees like that. They leave the movement because life gets too difficult in Krishna consciousness. They get purified, and because the intelligence is not sharp enough, then what happens? We bloop. We leave the association of devotees. Recently, I was meditating on how the world is going crazy outside, and I was just thinking, I don't want to go back outside, because if you think about it, compared to the world outside, the association of devotee is not that bad, actually. Living in the temple, you get a nice prasad. You may get the temple commander get on your case because you're not cleaning the toilet properly, or not changing the bins on the boxes properly, or you're using the plastic plates and you should put them back immediately. But when you go in the world outside, if you look at someone in the wrong way, they'll shoot you. So I think we can try to weigh up the two options and then see which one is the best option for us to choose, you know? In the association of devotees, sometimes there may be some politics. Right? Devotees may talk behind our backs, start spreading rumors. But if you go in the world outside, just because you got a mobile phone that looks too nice, people will come and kill you to take your mobile phone. The worst that will happen in the association of devotees is that they'll steal your Mahaprasad, but they won't kill you for your mobile phone. So compared to the world outside, I think the association of devotees is not that bad. And also when we meditate on the fact that these difficulties are there arranged by Krishna to purify us of our false ego, then it becomes easy to ride the storm. Because we think that we come to Krishna consciousness, we're already pure, so then immediately Krishna should reveal himself to us. But from Krishna's perspective, there are so many impurities within the heart, and it requires to be some rubbing to be done, because the heart is dirty. And sometimes when you're rubbing a dish, trying to get the dirt off, what happens? You have to get a scourer, because the stain is so like deeply ingrained that you have to apply some force and some energy. And sometimes you end up scratching the dish also to get the dirt off. So sometimes when Krishna is purifying us, some pain is there, but that pain is good because that pain gets all the dirt out of the heart, right? And thinking that in Mayapur, there was a lady, this isn't I think Pankajangri Prabhu compiled this booklet about Lord Nisingadev, and there was this pastime there where one lady, one night she was dreaming that Lord Nisingadev appeared to her, and he reached into her heart with his nails. He was looking at her and he said, look at all this stuff. Pulled out, and then there was like a bit of dirt under his nail, and said, this is what's inside your heart. What do you want me to do with it? You want me to keep it in there or just get rid of it? He said, please remove it. So that's what the Lord does. He opens the heart and then he just reaches inside, just gets all the dirt out. And sometimes that hurts. The other reason why that hurts is not just Krishna is just happy sitting in the spiritual world and just watching us suffer. The other reason why that hurts also is because we don't want to let go of the dirt. See? Krishna is saying, give me this instrument, it's bad for you. But we're holding on. So if you imagine a person is standing holding on two things. One, Krishna is pulling you one side, and then you're holding on to your anattas on the other side. Then what happens? There's some pain there as well. So a devotee who has knowledge that material world is a place of suffering and only Krishna consciousness is the way to be happy, when he gets purified, he rejoices, actually. Now that this is very high. I'm not professing that I'm on that platform. But this is what these pastimes are showing us, how a devotee reacts when he's put through difficulties. He rejoices. And because he rejoices and he meditates on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord eventually appears to that devotee. Like Krishna and in the pastime of Lord Brahma stealing the cowherd boys. Is that purport, that verse, Tate Nukampam Susamikshamano Bunjanaivatma Kritam Vipakam. Hidvagvapubi Vidadhanamaste Jivete Yo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak. A person who humbly accepts all the difficulties sent their way by the Supreme Lord and sees them as blessings and carries on performing a devotional service. I'm paraphrasing it. Performing the devotional service enthusiastically and in as much of a positive attitude as they can muster up, they become eligible to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord immediately. So the point is made there by Prabhupada that just like the inheritance of the son of a rich man is guaranteed, when the father would die, he will immediately get the money from the father, right? Because if he remains in under the shelter of the father, immediately you will get Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki Sitaram Lakshmana Numanaki Shishi Gornitai Ki Shila Prabhupada Ki. So Prabhupada makes the point in our purport there that just like that son, if he remains under the shelter of the father, he will get the inheritance, he will get the wealth of the father. So in the same way, a devotee who's getting tested and going through difficulties, if he remains under the shelter of the Supreme Lord, he will eventually go back to Godhead. Like that. He will go back to Godhead because Krishna promises that. And Krishna is also pleased when he sees how serious one is and one tolerates the difficulties he sends our way. Because in life, nothing is easy. There is nothing easy in life. We know this. I don't have to explain this to you. Many of you are very seasoned individuals. Yeah, very mature people, you've seen life, and we know that life is difficult, nothing is easy. Now, how much more prepared to work hard should we be when it comes to going back to Godhead? I was speaking the other day to some devotees and saying that just to be a pilot, you have to go to university for 7 years, I think. To be a doctor, so long. You go and then you come back out and you're so old. but you work so hard on your university, so much investment you have to make just to get a job as a pilot. Now, that's just a mundane job. And if you think about going back to Goddard, around this material universe, there are unlimited layers of energy, right? Making it difficult for just random people to try to go back to the spiritual world. So how much work do we have to do in order to be able to penetrate that and also enter the spiritual world? We can't just walk up to the door and just knock on the door and say, let me in. There has to be some work. There has to be some purification. And sometimes that purification hurts a lot. But how do we deal with that? The best way to deal with that is to, by reading Prabhupada's books regularly, by strengthening the intelligence. Krishna explains in Shastra that the best way to deal with the mind is by strengthening the intelligence. Right? By connecting the intelligence with transcendental knowledge, then the intelligence is able to discriminate effectively and reject the instructions of the mind. One whose intelligence is not strengthened will be deluded by the mind and be led astray. Right? So by reading Prabhupada's books regularly, then our intelligence becomes strong enough, and then we're able to deal with what the mind has to say. You can say no, and sometimes the mind may come up with some good suggestions. Then we're able to see what we should listen to, what we should take, what we should reject, like that. But unless we read Prabhupada's books regularly, then you won't last. That's what Prabhupada said that distributing my books will keep the devotees happy, but reading my books will keep the devotees. Right? Because in our spiritual life, sometimes we get into the mode of passion and we get excited and, yeah, book distribution, ki jai, devotional service, ki jai. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his Madhurya Kandambini that one of the symptoms of unsteady devotional service is called utsahamahi. And when a young, immature devotee, under the influence of false enthusiasm, thinks he's more advanced than he actually is. And then he gets challenged by the material energy and then he realizes he's actually not so advanced. And sometimes people leave when they get tested by Maya like that. But one whose intelligence is strong can resist the allurements of the material energy and can remain fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. And such a person will go back to Godhead. It's guaranteed. Krishna himself guarantees that. So that's the first thing we have to do. We have to regularly invest in our sadhana, hearing and chanting, right? Regularly, properly. And this hearing and chanting has to be done with quality also. When you read Prabhupada's books, when he's always talking about hearing and chanting, he always qualifies it with, you know, proper care and attention. He doesn't just say hearing and chanting, boss. He says hearing and chanting with proper care and attention. So it's like what we do, but there's also how we do it. Yeah? And how we do that is by being attentive when we're chanting. I think Mahatma Prabhu, he has this seminar on the art of chanting, and he has these dramas where people depicts the different ways devotees don't chant inattentively. So he's got Raida Japa, where the devotee is chanting and keeps looking around. Prajalpa Japa, where devotees are talking about what they're going to do during the day while they're chanting. And we get this driving Japa. Devotees are driving while they're chanting. It's Facebook Japa. All these different things are there. We fall into this kind of comfort zone, where initially the process was given to us and we were very respectful, very appreciative, because we remember what we went through in the material world. But then when you come in contact with the association of devotees, then the pain and the misery of the material world gets somewhat dissipated and it becomes like a distant memory. And then what happens is that we become complacent again, and then the process that will take us back to Godhead will start to take it for granted. So we come to Bhagavatam class, for example, and then we sit there and we listen, but at the same time we're thinking about something else. Like, Jainitai Prabhu was giving a class once explaining that it's like we're eating the mind's bananas while we're sitting in the Bhagavatam class, just thinking about whatever ideas the mind comes, oh, this is a very good idea. We zone out. So we're looking at the speaker, he's speaking, it goes through, it goes another, because we're thinking about something else. But the process of hearing and chanting, explaining Bhagavatam, to be the key, right? From Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti all the way to the more elevated aspects of devotional service, you see, throughout, hearing and chanting is there. Even Raghunuga Sadhana, it's all there, hearing and chanting. Association of devotees, hearing and chanting. But as one progresses, if one wants to become qualified to go to the high levels, then that the quality has to be worked on. And that's the difference between someone who's hearing and chanting on the lower levels of devotional service and the difference between someone who's hearing and chanting on the high levels of devotional service. So the first thing is that hearing and chanting properly will keep the mind, the intelligence strong so that we can resist the allurements of the material energy. And we also have to be constantly engaged in devotional service, because by constantly engaging in devotional service, we keep ourselves connected to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, like that. When in the early days in the Gaudiya Math, there was some, at the time when Bhaktisiddhanta was there, the government of India, they thought that, this is past time, they thought that the devotees were, I think they sent some undercover agents to spy on the devotees, I think. And two people tried to infiltrate the Gaudiya Math to spy on the devotees. But while they were in the association of the devotees, they had to perform the same activities as the devotees. So that means they had to hear and chant, they had to do devotional service, right? And by doing devotional service, eventually, their heart became purified, and then they decided that actually they don't want to go back to their work. They gave up their job and joined the Gaudiya Math full-time. Yeah. So this is a pastime that shows the power of engaging in devotional service in the association of devotee, that one's heart becomes purified. Even if one doesn't want to, we get dragged to perfection. Unwillingly, we get dragged to perfection. Like that. So we have to remain in association of devotees, we have to render devotional service in that association, and we have to hear about the Supreme Lord constantly, diligently, every day. And by doing this, then we'll be able to exhibit the qualities exhibited by Vasudeva and Devaki in this pastime, where despite having been tormented by the brother, Vasudeva's brother-in-law, Devaki, our own brother, despite having seen the children being killed by the brother, they remained focused on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. They didn't bloop. They didn't just leave the prison and just go down the local pub. They stayed focused on Krishna, stayed focused on the goal. And if we can do this, then we won't be affected. And if we don't do this, then we have the alternative, which is there in Kamsa, where we'll become so degraded that eventually at some point we'll even turn against our own relatives. And you see this in the world outside. There's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and we don't want to go there. Although fear is not the highest motivation for taking to devotional service, it is still a very good motivation. We have to remember that, because we don't want to go out there, definitely. So there's this, like this pastime from the Ramayana where Lord Ram drew the Lakshman Rekha and he told Sita to stay within the Lakshman Rekha, don't step outside. If you step outside, you just get snatched, right? We also have this Lakshman Rekha. Prabhupada has given us this Lakshman Rekha. Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavad Shravan, Nam Ruchi. We have to chant Hare Krishna. We have to do devotional service. We have to preach. Right? If we stay within this Lakshman Rekha, then we won't be affected. But if we succumb to the charms of our Ravan-like mind, right? Like Ravan came and he started whispering sweet nothings in Sita's ear, and she was affected because she thought, there's a sadhu, let me help him. So if we succumb to the tricks of the mind, we'll step outside the Lakshman Rekha, and then our mind and the minds of other people will just get entangled in that. And we don't know when we're going to get the opportunity to come back to the Association of Devotees again. Like that. So we have to be very careful. And whenever we come in the Association of Devotees, whenever we hear Bhagavatam class, we have to do it in a prayerful mood that this is the best opportunity I have to get out of this material world. I don't know what's going to be happening, what would happen in my next lifetime. There are so many options, like 8,400,000 options. And some of those options are not very nice. So therefore, we should be very, very careful and very diligent when we're hearing, when we're chanting. So this is what I got from this pastime, because the purport is basically comes to apologizing to Vasudeva and Devaki. I didn't want to do a whole seminar on the art of apologizing, because I don't know much about apologizing. But I just spoke about whatever I understood and whatever jumped out at me by looking at this verse and this, the previous verses. And I hope that you found it useful. We still have some time, so if anyone has any questions or additions, then please feel free to...